Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
But I want to start with something, okay? I just want to ask you, by show of hands, how many of you guys have the opportunity to be in the cruise ship? Okay, a few of you. Don't worry, nobody's living, is getting out. Everybody's going to be included in my message tonight. But I want to start with that because one of my first experience when I went into a cruise ship with my family, and something that caught my attention was like the first night in the cruise ship, there was one of the staff from the cruise ship that tell the people around them, let me ask you something. You make sure that you wash, be synchronized to the time of the ship. That way when you go offshore in the different destinations, you know what time you have to come back to the ship. Because if you go to offshore and you get into the time or the island or wherever you are, you're going to miss the ship. And I said, well, that makes sense. And then he asked, how many of you guys have cameras and iPhones for you? Well, of course, everybody raised their hands. I said, good. Because if you miss the ship, you're going to have a nice picture from the ship in the horizons. So I said, okay, that was a fair warning. Don't you think it was a fair warning, right? But let me tell you something. Next day, about, you know, the time that the ship is, you know, picking up to leave, I was in the balcony with my wife, and then it became like a cruise ship Olympics games because everybody that was in the balcony is looking down, and you see people running in the last minute trying to get into the cruise ship because, you know, they're moving all the ramp from the cruise ships. And you see, and everybody, every time that somebody was running, we were clapping, yeah, come on, you're going to do it, you're going to do it, yeah. It kind of like giving, energizing, you know, to get in time. But a few times I seen people left behind, you know, and you can tell that was because the lack of warning, because a warning was given. It was by the choice of those people not to be in time, you know. But for those of you that haven't been in cruise ship, let me give you this example. And I think, how many of you guys have flew before? Most of you, that's great, because now you're going to be with me in this example. You know, sometimes you get to the airport and you're sitting and as you're waiting for your flight to get ready, you may hear something like this. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your final boarding call for passengers Robert and William. Final boarding call, book and flight 372, Destiny, Kansas City. Please proceed to gate 3 immediately. The final checks are being completed. As the captain, we ordered the doors of the aircraft to close in approximately 5 minutes. Señoras y señores, ese es su pasaje. No. You get the message. Amen. There is something that, you know, we take for granted, and something that we have to understand, and that person that is left behind don't understand, is when after these 5 minutes pass and the aircraft shut his door, and when the jetway pull away from the airplane, even if you are standing on that window, in the big glass window in the airport, you can see your plane right there. They won't let you go in there. And that's what my message is called tonight, the lost call. Because sometimes we are waiting and waiting and waiting for our time. Be ready to come to God. God is being calling us and calling us and calling us. But it's going to be a time in our life, in this life, maybe in the next generation, maybe in this generation, nobody knows when. But he said there's going to be a time when the door is going to close. And if you didn't hear heed to his warning, we may be left behind. So this message tonight is not a message of judgment. It's a message for myself. It's a message for you. It's a message for the new believer. It's a message for the church. But it's a message for everybody. Can you say amen? Amen. There is no secret for anyone what is happening around us today. You know, it's like every week something else happened. Something that you think 20 years ago, this would have never happened. Not in this nation, not in my lifetime. You know, just as I was driving to church today, I was... there was a vehicle in front of my vehicle, and I'm looking through the windshield, you know, something that you left over from being a police officer. You always look, you know, scan. And I see the father, there's a child in the back seat. It's probably, I would say, less than 7 years old. And I see the child, like, punching the father that is holding the steering wheel. We are in the red light. And my eyes don't believe what I'm seeing. But that's not enough. Now the kid is like getting his back and he starts kicking his father in the face. a child. This, the things that I'm talking about that we weren't expecting to see, but the Bible talk about all these things to happen. Amen. There have been warnings given to us from Genesis to the book of Revelation. You know, when we are to preach the word of God, we haven't been called to preach half a gospel, 75% of the gospel. We have been called to preach every single word that is written in this book. Amen. And that's what I'm going to do with you tonight. In love, I'm going to share with you the word of God. You know, 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 5 says, but I understand this, that in the last day, there will become times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient of their to their parents, just what I was talking about, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unpeaceable, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, not loving God, good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying his power. Avoid such people. 1 Timothy 4:1, I'm going to be reading about the English Standard Version for this one. Now the Spirit expressly say that in the later times, some will depart from their faith by devoting themselves to deceiving spirits and teachings of demons. You know, reading the hands, tarot, wehi boards, reading the stars, you name it. Matthew 24:12. And because loneliness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. Jude 1:7. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulge in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment and eternal fire. Matthew 24:37-39. This is Jesus talking about the days of Noah. But as the days of Noah were, so also with the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. I just want to stop here for a second, because when people read this, it seems like it wasn't doing nothing wrong. They were eating, they were drinking, they were getting married. But what is the Bible implying here? That they were so distracted. They were so distracted in their own thing, in the human things, that they forgot about who the most important thing in their life should have been. And by separating from God, by putting God apart, their heart started getting filled with the sins and the things of the world. Can you say amen? Verse 39 says, and they know no until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of God. You know, as we can see, God is trying to give us a warning all the time. He's trying to reach out to the man. Just like if you remember the prodigal son. You remember when the prodigal son came to his father and said, listen, I'm leaving, give me my money, and he's spend it all in the world. The father didn't say no, but the father didn't give his blessing. So in other words, he left with the father's knowledge, but not with his blessing. So God never is going to stop you from doing something that you want to do, even when you're doing, what are you doing is wrong. He's giving you, he told Adam and Eve, you know, this is the two trees. From this one, you can eat. Don't eat from that one. The choice is yours. And we all know what happened. God is a gentleman. He won't force you to do anything that you want to do, bro. His plan for you is salvation. Can you say amen? So, this is what I want to read to you right now. What is a warning? So, a warning is a statement or an event that indicates a possible outcome or impending danger. A warning is a statement or an event that indicates a possible outcome or an impending warning. So, if we go to Genesis 6, verse 5, we can see what was happening in God's heart. They said that the Lord saw the weakness of the man was great in the air, and that the every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. In other words, everything that the man was doing, everything that was coming out of the heart, was evil. So, have you ever heard that phrase, just do what your heart tells you to do? Just be careful now. Because the Bible says that the heart is deceiving or everything else. And look at what the Bible says. Look at what the Bible says about the heart. Mark 7:21-23. From within, out of the heart of men come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, weakness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile the person. In other words, they poison the person. They'll kill the person. All these things that come from the heart. That's because our heart has to be put in the hands of God. He's the only one that have the ability to change our life, to change the nature that we are, and transform us in the new creation that he wants us to be, that he intended to be in the garden. That's why every time that you see on the Bible, it's a desire from God's heart to come to you and to reach out to you because he loves you. Can you say amen? So God have a plan. Say that he found a person. He found Noah. And he said that Noah have grace in the eyes of God. So the Lord says in Genesis 6:7. So the Lord say, I will destroy men who have created from the face of the air, both men and beasts, creeping things and birds of the air, for I'm sorry that I have made them. The air was overcome so much by the sin that God decided this is enough. One thing, if we go to Genesis 3:9, don't look for, I'm just going to mention to you about it. In the book of Genesis, in chapter 3, there's very important moment in time. It's the separation, the man from God. You know, in the days prior to Genesis 3, you can see how Adam and Eve walk in the garden along with God. They have conversations, you know. We cannot even fathom and imagine how wonderful was that. You stuck, you know, side by side like your friend, you know. And one day they were tempted, we know. And when the sin came to our life, what was the first thing that they did? They hid from God. So you have to understand, sin separates us from God. Repeat with me. Sin separates us from God. It's important for you to understand that, because what is happening next, when we don't have a close relationship with our God, you know, the things that God was feeling before is going to start getting filled by other things. And, you know, and we are with God. We cannot be in the middle, or we are with the devil. That's how it is. You know, we cannot preach it like salvation. You have to understand that there is salvation, but the opposite of salvation is condemnation, eternal condemnation. And that's why my purpose in my heart today is like, you don't see that we are being condemned, but I want to show you that even there is two sides or faces to the coin. You know, everything is being done out of love for us. Can you say amen? You know, the other thing is like, sin makes us insensitive to the voice of God. You know, sin makes us insensitive to the voice of God. Well, how you explain that? You know, after you see everything that God has done in your life, you know, how can you still deny the wonders and supernatural things that you have seen God doing in your life and in the life of the people around us? Amen. How many times, you know, if we believe what the Bible said that God did, you know, how we can not believe what is happening around and say this is the signals and this is the warning that God is giving us today? You know, sometimes I wish that we listen to the warnings from God the same way that we listen to the warnings like, hey, Pastor John, you know that they hacked the pipeline and let's get some fuel. Listen, If you hear in the news that the pipeline is being hacked, you know, you saw people filling the fuel tanks, the bags, the public bags filled with fuel, the bed trucks with fuel. I mean, everybody was like, it's the end. And the pipeline, that wasn't even happening, right, passing by. Or when the hurricane is coming, or when the virus is coming, the toilet paper, say bye to toilet paper, you know. It's gone. So if you don't have a TV, you know that something is happening. But because when you go to the grocery store, there's no toilet paper. Then you say, okay, well, something is about to happen. There's no toilet paper left. And it is funny, but at the same time, you know, if we can't react to the warning from men that way, that fast, how we can ignore the warnings from God that is giving us to us? This is the time that you stop ignoring God's warning. You're watching online. Listen, this message is for you too. It is time that the church of God stand in place. This is no time for the church to be lukewarm. You know, this is the time for the church to stand in prayer, in the gap, for those that are still walking on blindness. This is the time for the church to stand up and start praising and stepping on the gap for your family. For your family, for your neighbors, for this nation that is in dearly need of God this day. Amen. You know, there's three important things about Noah. Number one, Noah was responsive. When God called him, he answered to God when commanded to build an ark. So, number one, Noah was responsive. Number two, Noah was attentive. When God told him, this is how you will build an ark, and this is how the animals are going to come, he was attentive to what God was saying. And number three, Noah was submissive to a submissive servant of God. So Noah built the ark. And I want you to understand something. The ark wasn't built in 2 days, 2 months, 3 months, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years. Some scholars say that it took probably 55 to 75 years, you know. The point is, it don't seem matter how many years talk. While Noah was building the ark, he wasn't just like putting a nail. He was probably, the Bible said that he was a herald telling everybody that there was a flood coming. So I can picture, you know, I used to repent because God is going to send a flood. Repent because God is tired of the sin. Repent for 40 years, 50 years, 55 years, 75 years. As he built the ark, he was preaching the word of God to the people for repentance. It don't seem matter how many times, how long times you've been praying for your family. Just keep praying. Keep praying until you get a response from God. Keep praying until you see there's anything else that you can do. Keep praying for them. Don't give up on them. No, I didn't give up on those people. He keep building the ark as God told him to be, but he keeps saying and calling out people to repentance. But one day, God said, it is time. So God told Noah, get you and your family into the ark. And that is something that as I was preparing for this message, like, I don't know how to describe the feeling, but it was like, I feel like God was holding me in that moment. And it's when, in Genesis 7:16, he says, so those that entered, male and female, off of the flesh, went in as God had commanded him. And that last line, and the Lord shut him in. You know, and you can say, well, Pastor William, what's the big deal about that? But, you know, what I saw in that moment when I was reading, the Lord shut them in, it's not like it wasn't the man that closed that door. It was God that closed that door. But not only, you know, it's more than that. Just bear with me. God, give me the words to say. Because what I saw in that moment was like when God closed that, shut that door of the ark, what I saw was like his arms were around the ark to protect the Noah and his family and the animals from the waters, but also to protect them from the rage of men that at that moment realized that it's no time. Now we want to go in, but it was too late. It's like a Psalm 121 becoming reality. The one, the Almighty, the winds will cover over you. God will protect you when you listen to the warning, when you heed to the words that he wants for you and your life. You know, like the father embraced his child and covering you from danger. That's what I saw in that moment when God closed the door. He was a moment of hope for Noah and his family. But at the same time, it's a moment that in my heart, I felt the weight. What God may have felt in that moment. You know, he was so pleased when he saw the creation, when he created man and woman. And he said, all this I give you. You know, you're gonna be king of the gardens and the animals and everything. And now I have to destroy you. Because I give you a warning and you failed to heed my warning. That was the lost call for them. But you go to the New Testament, you know, there's so many parallels. Before Jesus came, there was somebody called John the Baptist. And he was once again preaching repentance because the kingdom of heaven was at hand. Once again, there is somebody that God is sending to preach repentance to the people. The hearts of the humans don't change. And even for centuries, 2,000 years, 4,000 years, is God desires keep being the same. To reach out to your heart. To reach out to my heart. So, it was John the Baptist preaching repentance. Then Jesus came. And there was something that Jesus said. In John 10:9. John 10:9 say, I am the door. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be safe. And I will go in and out and find pasture. You know, Jesus say, he didn't say, I am a door. He say, I am the door, the only one, the only way that you can come to the Father, the only way that you can find salvation, the only way that you can find eternal life is through me. So what I'm seeing is that Jesus is our ark of salvation. He's the door. He's the shepherd for our life. In the name of Jesus. And the door is open today for you. The door is open today for me. If we decide that we want to come to the Father, he said, come. Come to me. Come to me. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. Oh, praise you, Father, tonight in this place. All the glory is your, Father, in the name of Jesus. You know, God gave his son. God gave his son, Jesus. And John 3:16, that he said, because he loves so much. So once again, God is sending a way, a means to salvation. You know, he died on the cross of the Calvary for us. He became himself the sacrifice. He became himself the door. He became himself the ticket, which is our salvation. But it cannot be salvation without repentance. Had to be a repentance, had to be a willing heart in order to approach to the Lamb of God in salvation. He already paid the price. In other words, you know, you have the plane ticket with you. But now it's up to us to get distracted in our way to the plane, you know, to the airplane. You want to go to the stores and this and like that. You know, we are all the time attacked by the enemy of this world, the prince of this world. You know, I like to say this, the three D's. The weapon of choice of the enemy in this generation is deceiving, deception, and division. You know, you go to the apps, you go to Facebook, and everywhere that you go to the news, there's something that is trying to divide us all. We are all children of God. He didn't say to Israel, you are my preferred children, and now you guys are my adopted children. Yes, we are adopted, but we are all children of God. Can you say amen? And you know what? Why is taking so long? What is God taking so long then? It won't be easy for her to just to come and, you know. But this is what the Bible says. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long suffering towards us, not willing that any shall perish, not any shall perish, but that all shall come to repentance. The decision to for repentance has to come from us. Can you leave that test for me for a second? There's one thing that will have to happen. He said that he don't want anyone to perish, but that all should come. There's an action that had to take place. We should come. The door is open. Now is the time for us to come. You remember, and we have spoken in the last few weeks about the 10 virgins. I didn't want to read the whole thing, but I want that you remember that time. That time when the groom came, and the 5 virgins that have the oil came into the wedding, and then the door shut, right? And the 5 other virgins came, and you start knocking at the door. Lord, Lord, open the doors for us. He say, I didn't know you. You know, you have the time to get prepared. So don't wait until tomorrow. Every day we have to live as it's going to be our last day. The Bible said that nobody, not even the angels, know the time that the God is going to come back for us. So if you in your heart are saying, you know, God, I know that I'm not doing right today, but let me wait to get it right with you, you know, and then I will come and give you my heart to you. Don't be like that. You know, God is not looking for perfection. He's looking for disposition. A heart that is able to come to him and just recognize, Father, you know that I'm sin, but today in this place, Father, I ask you for the forgiveness of my sin, Father. And I give you my heart to you because I know that my heart in my own, Father, is deceitful, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father, I give you my heart, Father. Come to my life. That's all what he desires. We know that the time is near. And you know, as I was preparing for this message, there was something that I was so excited that I think I went to Pastor John. I said, this is, I have to share with somebody. You know, so Pastor John was studying. I said, you have a second? I'm excited. I have to share this with you. Because when I was reading the book of Daniel in chapter 12:4, this is when Daniel, the angel, is telling Daniel about the visions and the prophecies. And if you don't know, it's referring to the end of times. So this is what the angel told Daniel. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. In other words, just close this book and don't open it because the time of the end is not yet. But when I went to Revelation 22:10, this is Jesus, the angel, and he's talking to John, oh Jesus, and he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Can you see what is happening here? And when Daniel tried to open the book, he said, just close it. It's not the time. Many people are going to come in for it and going to try to find understanding in this book. It's not the time yet. But now, when we read Revelation, Jesus is telling, just leave it open. Just leave it open. The time is at hand. In other words, if you think that the time is not here, you're expecting God for 10 years, 20 years. Yes, maybe. Even if you've been waiting for God for 80 years for his arrival, maybe. But maybe because he's waiting for somebody in your family, somebody that is around you, somebody that the messages of the gospel have reached out to them. And you are that person. You are that chosen one that can bring the message of God, the message of God, the gospel of life to their life. We have to start being Christians, or actions and faith, activating our faith. This is no time for Christians to be sitting down and say, oh, I know that thing not happen. Okay, I will go to the prayer meeting when I can. This is the time for the church of God, universal church of God, to go on his knees, because the closest that we are to our knees, the closest we are to heaven. In the name of Jesus, Father, we want to be close to you, Father. We want to have a relationship with you, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father, we want to hear your word and your calls, Father. We want to come, Father. I want to read to you, I'm almost at the end. couple verses from the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 10. I'm sorry, I already read that one. Revelation 22, 12. He says, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work." So there's an urgency for God to come out for us. 22:17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him who hears..." Is anybody that can hear tonight in this place? But if you can hear, this word is for you. And he say, "And let him, her who hears, say, Come. And let them come who thirst, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." Revelation 22:10, "He who testified these things says, Surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." My brother and my sister, tonight in this place, is anything that you can take with you home tonight about this message, just remember these three words: God loves you. And because He loves you, He's giving us the time so we can turn away from our worldly desires and our bad decisions and come to the Father, which is with open arms waiting for us. The Bible say in Revelation 3:20, "I'm here at the door and I'm calling. Is anyone hear my voice? I will come in and I will have," in other words, "a time of fellowship with them, a time of intimacy." You have come here tonight and you feel like this was another service, like I will have an opportunity to come on Sunday and maybe next week, and you know, if things go well, I will give my life to God in 3, 4 months, 5 months, when I take care of my problems. Just remember what happened to that young boy that said, told the Lord, "You know, let me go. I will follow you, bro. Let me go home and take care of my father." Jesus told him, "Whoever look back is not worthy to follow me." But tonight, the door is open for us. Tonight in this place, there's a window of opportunity for you. We don't know what will happen in our life tomorrow. My desire from the bottom of my heart, since this new path that I've been followed, is that my graduation day, the day that He called me to be with Him, be serving Him, that I have the opportunity in my life to share the love and kindness that He has shown me for other people. And Father, tonight I ask You, Lord, that You open the eyes of the blind, Father. The spiritual blindness, Father, that is taking over this nation, Father. I ask You, Father, tonight that You open the eyes, Lord. Oh, Father, but let it be a church in fire, Father, to bring the gospel to those people that are lost, Lord. Oh, Father, yes, there is darkness, Lord. But the light is brighter in the darkness, Lord. And tonight in this place, there is a few of us, Father, with a heart willing, Father, to do Your work, Father. Because we understand, Father, that require an act of faith, Father, to come to You, Lord. But the Bible says that if we come to You, Father, You don't let us out, Father. You are the door, Father. You are the Alpha and the Omega, Father. You are the beginning of the end. So tonight in this place, I just want to ask something. I won't call you here to the front, but I want to pray for you. If there is anybody in this place that have never given the life to the Lord, or if there's anybody that's being lukewarm, you know, don't feel bad. You know, even Peter have a moment of lukewarmness when they got Jesus and he was hiding in the fire, you know, afraid from the soldiers, but at the same time, he didn't want people to realize that he was a follower of Jesus. We all have our moments of weakness, but if tonight you are that person, a person that never have given their heart to Jesus, or a person that wanted to recommit their heart to Jesus, I'm just going to ask you there where you are. I just want to pray for you. Raise your hand. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Let's always stand up for a second. Thank you, Father. Thank you for. Father, tonight in this place, let the Holy Spirit, Lord, fill us up, Father, with the new desire, Father, to do your work, Father, to preach your work, Father. Father, to love others the way that you love us, Father. Oh, Father, every day, put in our hearts, Father, the desire, Father, to follow you, Father, to come close to you, to have an intimacy to you, to make a place in our lives for you, in our hearts for you, Lord. Let every day that all men die in our, so you can increase in us. And tonight in this place, let every person that is leaving this place as we finish and closing this message, Father, to be with the joy and the strength, Father, that only you can give, Lord. And the peace, Father, that overpass all understanding, Father. I give you all the glory, all the honor. And as we depart this place, Father, let us say goodbye to each other, but never, never, never say bye to your presence, Father. Thank you, Lord, because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And everybody that believes and agrees says, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.